Keyshawn Johnson.
I used to have to pick up Popeye's chicken for Keyshawn.
One of the NFL's most respected analysts.
Morning, Keyshawn. How you doing? It's been a little while, but it's great to hear your voice. Nobody knows what's going on more than you do.
And one of the game's most charismatic stars ever.
Shut your ass up! Play football! Man, you a fake-ass John Randall. Shut your ass up!
ESPN's Keyshawn Johnson joins Dale and Keefe.
Cam Newton sucked!
Now on WEEI.
Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is ESPN NFL analyst and former NFL wide receiver Keyshawn Johnson. Keyshawn is sponsored by Zooty. Build any apps your company needs in a week. Visit Zooty.com for details. And McFarland Energy. Check out McFarland's new customer oil delivery special at McFarland.com. You can hear Keyshawn every morning on ESPN Radio's new morning show, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, as well as on ESPN's new relaunched NFL Live program, which airs weeknights from 4 to 5 p.m. Good morning, Keyshawn. How are you?
Good, man. Cam Newton still sucks. See? Brady would have scored.
Now, I'm going to ask you this as an analyst, and then I want you to compare it as when you were a football player. Is there such a thing as a good loss, and was there such a thing as a good loss when you were a player?
As a player, no. As a analyst, a fan, somebody watches the game, yeah, that was a good loss, an encouraging loss. I saw a lot of great things, not just good things, but great things in that position that they put themselves in to win that game in the end.
What did you learn about the Patriots on Sunday night?
You go up against a really good Seattle team, and you fight in the end. Although the 12th man was not there, it still was a tough environment and a tough situation, traveling all the way across country. Given the fact that you hadn't been with your quarterback that long and you still were able to compete against a team that, quite frankly, has made a transition from a defensive dominant team to an offensive juggernaut with Russell Wilson, and you were right there in the end.
Preseason predictions about the Patriots were all over the place. Some people said 5-11, and others thought, 11-5, they'll be competing with the Chiefs. Have you changed your view at all about what this Patriots team can be this season based on the first 2 weeks?
No, not me. I wasn't one of those guys that said they were going to go 5-11. So whoever said that obviously don't watch football enough to really understand what the Patriots had and what they have and what their system is and how they're being coached to win games and play games. So whoever was saying those sort of things was just hating on the team, basically, and hating on Cam Newton at the quarterback spot.
Well, just to clarify, one of those was, I believe it was ESPN's Football Power Index. It was one of those computer simulations, so it wasn't even a person we can really critique.
Yeah, but somebody's still pushing the button.
Blame
the geeks.
Yeah, I agree.
Keyshawn, you've been part of that locker room. You've been part of that football family. What is the effect on that family when a popular teammate, a captain, a guy that everybody loves, has a personal tragedy take place literally as he's getting to the stadium and hours before kickoff?
Well, what you're trying to do is you certainly understand, right? So there's no pressure to get on the field. You try to wrap your arms around him and give him the comfort and the love that he needs at that time. And you just try to console him as much as you can. Anytime somebody loses loved ones, it's always tough, especially, when he's a teammate or friend and I'm assuming players on the team and in the organization met the parents before. And so it becomes deeper to the core because of its family. I mean, it's family. I'm sure parents have come over for the games and cooked for players and things like that. My mom was close to pretty much every team I've ever played on, like close to the coaches close to teammates where they would come over for dinner or she would cook food and I would take it to the facility for the players and the coaches to eat. So it becomes a little bit of a different story.
Now, Stephon Gilmore is the reigning defensive player of the year, and yet it seemed like on Sunday night the Seahawks had no problem going right at him. And obviously they have a great quarterback and a good second-year wide receiver. But for a guy, you know, Gilmore seems to be compared to, you know, Darrell Revis at times. And do you think that would still happen if it was Darrell Revis, you know, in his prime getting targeted?
Absolutely. Good coaches don't care about what people say about players. You attack players that are great. When I was playing for Bill Parcells and Todd Haley and those guys on the offensive side of the ball, we didn't care that Deion Sanders was over there, and we didn't care that Rod Woodson was over there. We threw the ball at those guys. So I think that's the way you have to approach it. If you feel you have an alpha dog to be able to match them, then you go for it.
Keyshawn, we know that the quarterback for the Patriots, Cam Newton, is being paid like a backup and performing like a superstar through 2 weeks. This morning on the Greg Hill Show, he said, at this particular time in his career, money is not important to him. Do you believe him when he says that?
Absolutely. Because it'll come. He'll get the big deal. He'll lead this team to the playoffs, and they'll like what they've seen throughout the year, and they'll probably wind up extending him or having those conversations at some point in time. You look at what was available for him team-wise and money-wise when he made the decision to sign with New England. You know, it wasn't a whole lot out there, so he wasn't overstressing it. I think more of the public and more of the sports talk radio bobbleheads and people like that are more so concerned with how much money he's making, opposed to him concerned with it, and all he's trying to do is get back on track to be the best football player he could possibly be.
We're talking with NFL analyst and ESPN radio host Keyshawn Johnson, our regular Tuesday guest here on the Dale and Keefe program. You were considered a very big wide receiver. I mean, you were different physically than most of the guys who played that position. When you look at DK Metcalf, do you see a guy who looks different than guys who play that position?
Not really. I mean, there's some big dudes. Julio Jones and Michael Thomas are big guys. I mean, you know, guys like that are huge. Devontae Adams is not actually small. He's not, you know, huge. But DK Metcalf would probably be on the bigger side, I would say. Keenan Allen is not a small wide receiver. Neither is Mike Evans or Mike Williams. I mean, those are all big guys. N'Keal Harry is not small by no stretch of imagination. So I think what happened when I came into the league, there were not a lot of guys that were 6'4", 220, that can run, can play the slot, can play outside, inside, can do pretty much a whole lot of different things. And then for me, they went out and they got, you know, Eric Moles or Randy Moss. They started to get bigger after I came into the league. But, you know, Michael Irvin wasn't a small receiver. Michael Irvin wasn't small at all. There were bigger guys. There were bigger guys that came before me. They just didn't do all of the things that I could do. I could play inside. I could play outside. I didn't come off the field. You know, when you get in the sub packages, which is like third down, the things that Julian Edelman can do, I can do, and all they do is slide me inside. We didn't have a traditional slot receiver, so to speak. They want to get the ball to me, they move me inside. They want to get it to me on the outside, they get it to me on the outside. So what you're seeing now is there's like the specialty, whether it's Renfro with the Raiders or whether it's Julian Edelman with the Pats or you know, some of those guys that Cole Beasley. You see some of those guys that they move into the inside. The interesting thing about DK Metcalf is that he's big and he's fast and he's a vertical ball guy that can really run and separate. He doesn't have a whole lot of wiggle. His route tree is still trying to be fine-tuned, but he's such a good athlete that he becomes like a physical specimen out there, and it's hard to deal with that.
Who do you think's better right now, Keyshawn, Tom Brady or Drew Brees?
I think they're both about the same. I mean, Drew Brees missed Michael Thomas last night, and if you watch the game, you can kind of tell. At least I can, with my eyes, tell that a few throws got away from him, but not because of him, but because of the receivers. The interception was placed solely on Drew, but a lot of those balls that were, you know, kind of thrown off target, the receivers were slowing down, they were stopping, they weren't continuing to go to the spot that he thought they should be at, where Michael Thomas, you know, would be in a spot where they thought he would be when they delivered the football. Tom Brady got on track to a degree the second game because, again, Mike Evans and him wasn't on the page the first time around. Tom Brady was throwing a ball from the left side of the hash all the way across the field. They got intercepted for a pick six. But the first thing, because of their age, the first thing people want to say is that they're losing their fastball. Doesn't look like they lost their fastball to me.
A week ago, N'Keal Harry fumbled on the goal line, and Cam Newton supported him, said that wasn't his whole game. He did a lot of good things. This week, you have Julian Edelman failing to, you know, haul in a catch at the goal line that would have won the game for the Patriots. And today, Cam Newton says, it was a little high. I could have placed it better. It was a fastball. As a receiver, how much value or how much does it mean to you when your quarterback is so supportive and publicly defends you guys?
Well, he's not lying, right? I mean, and I think I was on the show with you guys, and we talked about N'Keal Harry's fumble out the back of the end zone last week. It happens, right? It's something that happens. And Julian Edelman, you know, that ball's coming in hot, and Julian Edelman tries to make the catch. It gets away from him. It's not necessarily anybody's fault. It just happens that way. But to answer your question about a quarterback protecting you, I mean, really, that's what is the truth. I mean, he's not out there lying. The one thing that I've hated in quarterbacks is for them to act like they don't have any wrong. They've never done anything wrong. I remember when I played with Drew Bledsoe, the former New England Patriot quarterback with the Dallas Cowboys, and Drew Bledsoe he threw an interception or something, and he tried to make it seem as though it was part of my fault, and then I had to just kind of really go in on him on the sideline to a whole degree where, you know, he'll never do that again. So you don't ever want to have to get into those type of confrontations. Just, you know, tell the truth. You know, don't sit up and try and make it seem like it's somebody else's fault. And I think Cam Newton being a captain of the team and owning everything on his own, that's what winners do. That's what winners do. Tom Brady never threw anybody under the bus. And so when you think about it, Cam Newton is doing what Cam Newton has always done.
And maybe you kind of already answered part of the question, Keyshawn, but in your career, who was your favorite quarterback to play with and your least favorite quarterback that you played with?
My favorite quarterback to play with was a combination of Vinny Testaverde and Brad Johnson. They just knew they knew the deal. They knew what to do, how to do it, veteran guys. And my least favorite, I don't necessarily know if I have a least favorite. I mean, if you look at the list of quarterbacks that I've had, I mean, I enjoyed all of them. Even Tom Tupa, who was actually a punter, me and Tupa connected against the New England Patriots for about 150 yards one game. And so, you know, I kind of enjoyed everybody to a degree. It was not anybody that was the least favorite, I would say. I understood who I was dealing with, you know. Like, I understood who Neil O'Donnell was. I understood who Rick Meyer was, that Rick Meyer had limitations, or Ray Lucas. I understood that Ray Lucas was a phenomenal athletic quarterback that needed some seasoning to become something even better. You know, like, I understood Rob Johnson. I understood Bledsoe. And again, I understood Drew Henson. So it's kind of like I play with so many. Like, I understood Jake DeLone. Like, I understood Jake DeLone was a guy that it was never his fault. I got it. I understood that. Never your fault. Got it. But doesn't mean I didn't like him. I just understood who he was.
Yep.
Final question before we let you go. The Las Vegas Raiders come to town next week. They're sitting there at 2-0. Derek Carr put up 34 against the Saints last night. Is this a better football team than you expected going into the season?
No, it's about what I expected, to be honest with you. You could see them building. You could see them starting to put together a little bit of talent. Waller tied in. You know, Derek Carr, Jacobs, the running back, drafted Henry Ruggs, Renfro in the slot. You could see him grab Nelson Aguilar. You could see him, you know, start to maybe put some stuff together, Trayvon Mullen on the outside at the corner position. You started to say, okay, this team could potentially be good. Rob Marinelli comes over as a defensive line coach from the Dallas Cowboys, who's former head coach of Detroit, former defensive line coach of us in our Super Bowl winning ways in Tampa. So you kind of knew, okay, Tom Cable, pretty good offensive line coach. You know, you kind of said, okay, they're going to sneakily challenge the Kansas City Chiefs within that division. Sneaky.